No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, the official Griselda podcast, arguably. We in here.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Man, I'm chilling like a motherfucking villain.
Griselda slash BSF. Let's get this mic right in Benny's face.
Oh, yeah, come on, pause.
Pause, all that.
You know what I'm saying?
How's it going, guys?
Man, I feel great, man. We've been running around working, doing shit, shooting motherfucking videos, putting music out. I just put some shit out. We've been doing the fucking Rolling Louds, BET Awards. You know what I'm saying? When I first time I came up here, I was a little shit.
Were you reflecting on that because I pointed that out earlier?
Always. I always think about that. I always think about the points in my career. You know what I'm saying? You got a good thing going here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like my third time coming up. I remember I was just trying to get up here one time.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Because the first time you came in as kind of like, oh, this is like the new, you had already like kind of solidified yourself from my perspective.
Right.
But, you know, you were sort of like the new face.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second interview, you came in and it was just straight, just you, just me, mm-hmm. and you having a conversation. Now you're in here with your artist, which I knew you right. had artists before that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's exciting to see the growth for sure.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. We climbing this ladder in this music business. I'm just soaking up a lot of game, put my niggas on it, and we moving around.
Tell me about Rick.
Man, Rick, I knew Rick maybe half his life.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know what I mean? I met him when I came home from jail. Like, he was in the studio with my mentor. So it was like, when I was gone, my mentor, I guess he just felt the need to mentor somebody, and when I came back, like Rick was like in my spot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But we got cool, we was kicking it, and you know what I mean, ever since then we've been doing the shit we doing right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
He a dope producer, dope songwriter, write hooks, you know what I'm saying? He just nasty. He come from my cloth, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he liked that.
Right. So you guys were part of a criminal conspiracy before you were rapping together?
I won't say that.
No, I would never say that.
I wouldn't say that. You know what I'm saying?
This is my brother, man. We ride together, we die together. You already know the vibes, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was here last time we was in. I was over
you
there.
You were. I met you.
I was smoking over there, now I'm smoking over here this time.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
See the growth?
He was on the couch, and now he's at the big boy's table. That's right. That's beautiful. Yeah, they were just telling me that you were producing for years and years and years before you started doing rap.
I kind of got notoriety producing before rapping. Like, I don't know how, I mean, fucking with him.
Yeah.
Of course, it's bound to happen. Like, he rap over all my shit. Whatever I send him, he don't disagree with. One or two, maybe, but he don't disagree for that, for the most part.
Mm.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it all kind of started a couple, when we did the Friend of Ours album. I did the intro with him in 38 Special, and it was, like, kind of catapulted from me from there.
Really?
Like producing-wise. So I just took it from there. I just stayed with it. I make beats because a nigga told me he wouldn't make me a beat before. So now I'm doing way better than that nigga. But, you know what I mean? It's
like. Ha-ha, nigga. Lost.
Name names. Who are we sub-dissing?
Man, we ain't naming that nigga names so he could be going to get features and sell beats after his name on No Jumper.
He going
to
make him a motherfucker promo video of this shit and put it on his Instagram.
He gotta stay in the trenches till we decide to go get him.
I've seen that happen. That is a very good point. There would definitely be a music video with this as the intro. Yeah,
exactly.
That happens a lot. That's definitely a thing. Okay, but so tell us a little bit about your early days as a young man before you even met this guy or got into the music shit.
I mean, shit. Early, it was always rough, man. My brother was locked up. My real big brother, he locked up again. Now he just went back to the feds.
Uh-huh.
So my brother was locked up. So I looked at him and Conway. Like, I met Conway first because he was out. And then when I met Benny, as I could relate more with Benny because he like grew up down the street from where I grew up at. So we kind of from the same area. So I just adhered to bro, like, it's my big brother. And like early on, I always would listen. I was the nigga that waited his turn, you feel me?
Right, facts.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I would always listen to what they said, constructive criticism, or if they telling me some good shit, whatever it was, you know what I'm saying? Just listen to these boys, because they doing what I'm trying to do, you feel what I'm saying?
Mm.
So I just always took that method, and I ran with it and shit. We here today, we all on this shit shining, nigga, we talking to Adam 22.
Hey.
We in a good spot right now, and we run the rap game.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
That's real. Okay, so when you guys first linked up, what year are we talking?
2007.
Yeah,
wow.
Like seven. Yeah, it's like 07, man. Yeah, oh, so I came around the studio. My god brother brought me around first, actually. I came around like late 06, early 07. And I met Benny like later on that year.
He came late 06, and like I said, I was gone.
Right. Yeah, I came around like late 06, 07.
Uh-huh.
Like Shay, rest in peace, the GOAT. Shay used to have us all in one building, bro. So we all been together for years.
Mm-hmm.
So when people see us at Rolling Louds and shit, and they be like, "Yo, y'all performance was fluid as hell. Y'all chemistry." I'm like, bro, that shit is
right. We this got shit years in the making.
That shit years in the making. You know what I'm saying?
And even before we got here, we done did at least 100 shows, like, locally.
Mm. Right.
I'm saying, so we got our shit up. So that's why when people see that we seasoned, that's why we shit, we 30 right. plus. Mm. And we've been doing this shit forever. So, you know what I'm saying? That, to make it to this point, that shit helps a lot. You know right. what I mean?
Okay, so tell me about Shay and how much he influenced everything that you guys have going. They were just telling me out there, make sure you highlight this in the interview because this dude was like the fucking architect of a lot of this shit.
Let me tell you this. DJ Shay is to Buffalo what Dre is to Compton.
Wow.
To what
right.
Michael 5000 Watts is to Houston.
Wow.
To what Primo is, you know what I'm saying?
To New York.
To New York. That's what DJ Shay is. He was a mentor. He was the first person that I looked up to who never gave me dope or a gun. You know what I'm saying? He was just cool being himself.
Really?
And I looked up to that. He had his own studio. He was always fly, always kept his hair cut. You know what I'm saying? He was popular. So I looked up to him. He used to make sure I came to the studio every day. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we ain't do shit. Sometimes we got there, smoked a blunt, and fell the fuck to sleep. But I realized what he was doing. He was getting me off the streets.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. I would have been doing some dumb shit. So that's why I got to be in a fucking studio damn near every night now because he embedded that in me. You know what I'm saying? So, and not only me, Armani came from under Shay's tutelage.
Wow, really?
Yes. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Him, you know, me and Conway was over there signed for a minute with Shay. Uh-huh. So it's like any next level talent that came out of Buffalo went through Shay hands. Right. TJ Banks, you know, DJ TJ Banks.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? That's our guy. He from Buffalo too. Motherfucking on tour with Nav, motherfucking Meek Mill, Drake. You know what I'm saying? He came through Shay. Mm. He brought. Didn't y'all bring him around?
Yeah. He damn near was my first ever DJ. We did a party. You know I was like 15 years old. He was the DJ and shit. We chopped the bag up. That was my first time ever.
And Shay taught him how to DJ.
Yeah. Shay taught him how to DJ.
You know what I'm saying? Now he DJing for all of these big artists and shit. So all the nice premier talent came through Shay hands in Buffalo.
Wow, that's interesting. You say that. He just wanted to put you in the studio. He didn't try to put a gun in your hand or something like that. Like that was your normal experience with OGs from your area at that time, that they see a young, hungry dude and they're more thinking like, oh, I'm going to have him go put some work in for me rather than I'm going to put him in the studio.
I'm from the hood, so it's like all the OGs, I know older niggas, I know they was getting money or they was doing shit in the street. So it's like, shit, where my dope at? You know what I mean?
Right.
That's just what it is. I got older and I did the same thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The young niggas who was around, you know, I try to put them in a game. But when you think of like that, you think that's the right fucking thing to do. But it's not.
Like, yeah. Really OGs in Buffalo more rather, you know, carry the tradition than to teach a nigga. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't want to be putting no gun in a teenager hand. You know what I'm saying?
At all. Right.
Nigga not even responsible for it. Even though niggas done that to me and I done that to other little niggas. But That shit was wrong. That shit's stupid.
Right, because in polite society, even the idea of that, like, is sounds crazy. But, like,
that shit sounds
in the street and
crazy.
Shit,
it's normal.
You hear about it all fucking time. It's normal. And you're like, oh, this 15-year-old caught a body or whatever. It's like, bro, you realize that this is what people do. They, like, train these young motherfuckers to go do crazy shit for them.
Mm-hmm. Like, in the ghetto, in the hood, you ain't respected unless you getting money or you putting in work.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying? And the OGs, the older niggas you look up to, they not going... 9 times out of 10, they not going to accept you in their world unless you getting some money or you putting in work.
Mm.
So, you know, we want to appease them. So that's the dumb shit that we doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think made it different about Shay that he would rather look at the long-term good in somebody's life to try to, you know, put him in that position to make music and shit?
Man, I feel like Shay understood that. I think when Shay passed, I don't feel like I got to tell Shay that, what I just said, that he the first guy who never did nothing like that. But I think he already knew that shit. He knew where the fuck I was from. He knew I was a hood rat.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to put this nigga, like, this nigga got talent. I'm about to bring this nigga with me. Watch this.
Mm.
And then even before all of this shit, we made history as far as Buffalo hip hop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think a person like him recognized the talent and knew what he had to do to, like, help it flourish. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. So, Rick, when you start watching Benny's career start blowing up and, like, all this great shit start happening, where were you at and what was your perspective on all this growth?
I was right next to him.
you were along on tour and everything along the way?
I've been by this man's side since 07. You heard it. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? I was on the Lox Griselda. Right. I was at the Lox Griselda. I wasn't on it. I was at the Lox Griselda tour, the first joint they went on. I was with him at the Freddie Gibbs tour. I was with him when he did the Butcher coming to his first ever solo tour. Mm-hmm. I was there.
Ten to Talk Three Tour, Plugs I Met Tour. Even in these label meetings, all the big interviews, y'all see me in like you said, he's sitting over there.
I'm sitting right there. I'm in the same, when he signed the deal with Hov, I'm right there. I'm talking to Hov myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like I've been there. So to watch it happen, like, you know, because where we come from, you don't fathom this type of shit. You feel what I'm saying? You think about it, of course. Like I was telling bro a couple weeks ago, like, bro, it's crazy how we used to be in a studio sitting on rap radars. We used to be, because we just keeping up. We just trying to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And now we go in there and it's our shit on there. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit just crazy. So, you know what I mean? Like, you learn a lot from people like this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you want to stick close to a person like this. Like he said, how his role models and all of that shit didn't, I mean, this was my role model. Mm-hmm. So what he was doing, this was the example that I had to follow. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why, I'm always in the studio. That's why my work ethic, you know what I mean? It's got to stay up here, top tier. Mm-hmm. That's why my lyrical prowess got to stay up here, because it's who I'm going at. You know what I mean? You feel what I'm saying? This is my brother. This is who I'm going after.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? I'm blessed. I'm honored. And I'm forever indebted to this nigga for just having me right here. Mm. Like, even if I never rapped, I know I'd be good just because I know I'm right here with him. Right. Feel me?
But what starts going through your head as you see his career start blowing up and getting to a totally different level of notoriety that you're not used to seeing from your city? What are you thinking primarily in terms of like how you can continue to add value to the situation and how you can use all this to like support what he has going on, but also start building your own career up? That's kind of like a tricky spot to be in, you know, because it's like you have somebody that's clearly just getting the shine on a different level, and you got to figure out how to be helpful / be able to work the situation to the best.
Same thing. He pay attention to me because the same shit, same position he been in, I've been in that same shit with Westside and Conway.
Mm-hmm.
Going to all like XXL interview for a freshman of the year. I'm sitting in that motherfucking interview like, damn, these niggas done grinded to freshman of the fucking year. Like 2 years later, I was sitting in that same meeting and I still couldn't believe that shit. But like how he pay attention to me, I paid attention to them. You know, West took me everywhere. Conway took me everywhere. I'm on the tours. I'm in the meetings. I'm meeting people. You know what I'm saying? So. No, just listen and watch. That's the best fucking thing you could do.
The best thing you could do. Listen, watch, wait your turn. Because it's going to happen. Mm. Just got to wait your turn. You got to be prepared mentally.
That's it.
That's all.
That's what it's about. You know what I mean? We signing these artists. Some of them are homeboys. Some of them not. You got to be prepared. I don't give a fuck how good you rap. You have to be prepared for this shit. You got to be prepared the way your family going to act, the way these bitches going to act, the way the haters going to act, the way this business going to go. You got to be prepared for that. So when I see guys who have the talent, but they not prepped for the other shit on the other side of the game, I don't even fuck with them.
Makes sense. Yeah, there was something I was thinking about when I was looking at your Instagram earlier, was just how nowadays to be a rapper, it's not just like, okay, I rap and I make money off of the raps. It's like, no. Rapping might be how you achieve a certain level of status, but then once you get into that position, it's about building different businesses on top of the notoriety that you built through the rapping. And that's, I seen you doing the NFT thing, which I've recently become a very big believer in the NFT shit. And that just occurred to me as like, Benny's a dude who's taking the step of doing the fucking NFT stuff before basically anybody else in rap.
Exactly.
But then also, you know, it's something that's not 100% correct connected to you being a rapper, but it's something where you're able to build something that really has value on top of your rap career.
Exactly, man. That's what it's all about, is getting in this business and building off of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like Hov said, you could bullshit with rap if you want. And I'm the type of person that if I got the opportunity to do it, I'm going to do it. Mm. Same thing with the sports firm. Same thing with like how we do the merch. Same thing how we sign artists. If I'm in a position to talk to these labels and get a deal done, like, I'm going to fucking do it. If I'm in a position to talk to a college kid and get a deal done with him, I'm going to fucking do it. I ain't going to sit around and, you know what I'm saying? You know, we do movies and everything. It's like, this shit is hectic. It should take a toll on you, but we doing this shit. Anything they put in front of us, anything that's reachable, we moving on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you said the thing about the college kids, what was that? Like,
basically, we got a sports agency, big sports firm, everything BSF.
And is this just because they've opened it up where you can get endorsements as a college student?
I've been had it before that. You know what I'm saying? I've been had it before that. This is why. This is what I learned about. This is what I learned about sports and shit. Those dudes is hustlers just like us. Mm. Even though they get them big fucking contracts, man, it was a playoff time, right? And these niggas got big contracts. And a guy had 4 extra tickets. He played on a team, and he had 4 extra tickets. None of his family was coming, so he was trying to sell them.
Mm.
I'm like, he's getting money. You know what I'm saying? He's hustling. He don't give a fuck if it's, he gonna go snatch a million over here. He's still gonna go snatch 5,000 over here. So it's like all the connects that I got with brands and shit like that. I'm like, I'm gonna connect those dots because I ain't like these dudes. It's not like they only want super million out of contracts. Like they taking 10s, 20s, dealing with different brands and shit. 30s, 50s, you know, they hustling. You know what I'm saying? They trying to make it last forever.
Right. No, and it is smart because like sometimes you just, you'll notice the disparity where you'll see somebody, you know, they have a $1 million recording contract. And then you also see them on their Instagram story selling a shout out or a SoundCloud repost or whatever. And on one hand, it's kind of like, shit, you really making money like $200 at a time right here. But then at the same time, shit, like, you know, that's your fucking food and Ubers for the day. It's like
real shit.
It's actually honestly, that's a dangerous thing to get out of that mind state of a couple hundred dollars not mattering.
That's
you don't never want to get lax, you don't want to get content.
That the money don't matter, a couple hundred don't matter, because this shit gonna add up. Hundreds gonna add up to thousands. Thousands gonna add up to tens of thousands to millions. You know what I'm saying? You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, because as soon as you got the $500,000 bag, if you let that stop you from chasing $500 at a time, $1,000 at a time, I see it all the time, where that really can kind of slow somebody's hustle down once they start thinking that they're too good for a certain level of bag, you know?
That every bag gotta be like that bag, you know what I'm saying? No.
But you also have to pick the bags wisely because, you know, you don't want to be the one tarnishing your image by doing a bunch of whack shit on your Instagram and shit all the time.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to be doing features with Ronald McDonald and shit. That ain't gonna do. You know what I'm saying? Unless McDonald's dropping the correct bag, you ain't gonna have no choice.
You got a lot of Ronald McDonald's asking for features?
I'm just saying he's literally a clown. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be surprised if he tried to drop a tape.
Right.
He's literally a clown.
I think Peppa Pig dropped an album, right?
Feel me? That's what I'm saying. You can't, yo. It's niggas in my DM that I be looking. I'm like, bro, I would never do a verse with you. Like, yo, how much is a verse? And this game's so crazy is that, like, bro, I would never do a verse with you, bro. Like, why? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sometimes this shit don't even be about no money with niggas. Niggas be so ass backwards. Like, you don't even want to tarnish what you got going on. Like, I'm good. Like, nah, it's no disrespect.
Because that guy in his city might be the weirdest motherfucker on earth that every real person in that city knows he's a fucking weirdo.
And he got a PPP loan and he's trying to spin it with me. No, we ain't not doing that.
Yeah. No, that's real. That definitely is how it happens. But yeah, I mean, that. Have you ever had one that you did and it later seemed like a bad idea?
Yes.
You got to learn your lesson, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's exactly. You got to learn from experience.
The money was good. Yes.
Those be the ones that ask you for the video, too. Right. You got to say no to the video.
The video. Because the worst one that you do will be the one where they pay for the post on WorldStar. They're running it as an ad on YouTube on front of everybody else's video. It's like anytime you do something whack for money, somehow that will be the shit that gains so much more attention than all the reasonable shit that you did for money.
Man, don't get me started.
Real shit.
Bug. All right. Okay. So Rick, you got projects dropping soon. You got this plate shit dropping soon.
I got an album coming out later this month. Plates 2. Shit is gonna be bananas, man.
Yeah, we worked hard on that.
We put our all into it, and I say we because it's a collective thing, man. It took almost a year and some change, 2 years to curate it, put it together. I had bro help, of course. I got the insight from everybody around us. Shout out my boy Tony Denise, Love Boat, City Boy Jake, Cat Harlem, the whole team. I'll play something and we don't do yes men over here. It's not, oh man, that's the next shit. That's it, bro. We don't do that. If that shit bad, nah, bro, we can correct this. Let's keep this beat, but let's take all this off. So we went through a lot of trial and error, but I'm telling you, I'm about to drop a hip hop classic. I guarantee it. You know, this shit is, I don't even call it a hip hop classic. I call it a moment. It's going to be a moment in hip hop when this shit drop.
Yeah, because, I mean, you recording something for that long when I know you guys are in the studio all the fucking time. Is this just like 1,000 songs that you had to whittle down to however many?
Hell no. I got 17 tracks on the album. It was about, we probably went through about 25 for the album specifically. You know what I'm saying? Some joints didn't make it. Some of them went to other projects or we turned them into, you know what I mean, different situations. But the 17 that we picked, I stand on. Like, I'm confident. I got Alchemist producing on that joint. I got Harry Fraud. I got Shay, of course. I got Sha Money XL producing on there. I got West Side Gun on there, Benny, Conway. I got all three Griselda members on different tracks. So don't think they on the same track. I got them all three on different tracks. I got, man, I'm telling you, I got Corey Guns on there. We got a fire record, me, him, and Conway over Alka. We got a fire record. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just know when this shit drop, it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? This is the moment all artists wait for. You know what I'm saying? They first shit, national recognition. You know what I'm saying? Adam 22 interview to follow, the lead up to it. You know, this is what all artists beg and ask for. You know what I'm saying? And I'm living through it, and I promise I'm going to deliver.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
No, I agree, because, like, the shit that's going to make you stand out in terms of where you're at right now is just to put out that one project that's such an iconic classic that nobody can really say shit about it. You know?
And that's what took us so long, basically, that I knew what he wanted it to be. I know he wanted it to put it out, but I knew more what he wanted it to be. So a couple times I put the brakes on him. Just doing more. Everything is good. Everything is dope. But it's like we could do better, right? And we could catch the moment. And look, like it's no perfect time than right now. You know what I'm saying? And same thing I went through with Tana Talk 3 and Burton Approved. Those shits sat for Tana Talk 3 sat for like a year and a half, and Burton Approved sat for a year.
Right, because the last interview we did, you were on this long stretch of not having had a project release. So it was kind of like the people were very much like salivating, like wanting to get their hands on that shit. And then it seems like you kind of got back into the groove of stuff. Was that mostly business shit that was holding that up?
Yeah, it's business. It's business because, you know, these fucking deals take forever to fucking do. And me, I'm a fucking workaholic. So, like, right now, I'm working on two different albums right now. So it's like, which one I'm going to put out, if I'm going to go here and put this out. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, we a family. It's ultimately my decision, but I'm not running out here like, yo, I said we doing this, so we doing this. It's like, you know, I'm taking input from other people, like, hold off, let's bust this move, or, you know, West about to drop, or Conway about to drop, or just, you know what I'm saying, or build the anticipation up. And that's what I did. I listened to everybody. And that building the anticipation up shit is crazy. It's definitely dope to smoke niggas, because I put out 3 EPs this year. But like you said, I wasn't doing shit last year. You know what I'm saying? I put out 3 fucking EPs this year, and people fuck with it, but I'm about to build the anticipation again.
Yeah. Because that one that you just put out is, you said it, you recorded it 3 years ago and you just dropped it. What's the deal with that?
I put it out. I did a deal with some guys, and they was just looking for the right spot to drop it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? They been wanted to drop it, and I was just telling them, just put it out. But this is their first go around. You know what I'm saying? So they was kind of like nervous. They was kind of like, you know what I mean? And like it was, you know, they was kind of like mad at me for a minute and shit. But now that it's out and it's doing great, you know, I'm telling them like, look what you got. You know what I'm saying? It's dope. Right. Look what you got. So, you know, this game take a lot to navigate it through. You know what I mean? So
that shit was damn near number 2 on the iTunes charts as of yesterday. I ain't looked today. Probably went up.
But was that a weird decision, just putting out something that you've been put together for so long ago? Like, it's got to kind of have a different feel to it, right?
Yeah, it do. But it kind of took me back, and it kind of took the fans back. You feel what I'm saying? When I wasn't this rich and before I wasn't this cocky, I think they like that. You know, the fans be hating. They get mad when niggas get rich and cocky. But I thought that was the whole point of it. As long as we rapping good, you feel what I'm saying? You know, the fans are finicky and they're possessive. You know, they don't want you to blow up too big. I did the Hit Boy album. I did the Buffalo Bills shit. I did the fucking NBA draft shit. And they saying I sold out because I'm just being more successful.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Well, those types of fans are like the number one fans who are the most alert and ready to call you out for any kind of commercial sacrifice, right?
Because that's what they're in it for. You know, everybody want to speak on what a rapper does. And that's one of the biggest thing that fucking irks me is that the world and society look up to rappers like niggas is Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks. Niggas is just rappers. Right. Niggas got motherfucking, not me. Well, I'm smart as a bitch, but I did drop out of school in 10th grade. But, you know, niggas got 10th grade educations. Niggas got prison records. What the fuck you want to look up to me for and take my advice on anything? Just listen to the music. They so opinionated on what the rappers do. Hey, yo, man, a street nigga. It ain't no street shit. We rappers. We done all of that. You think I lived everything I had to live in the streets to get here and still be on street shit? It's over. You feel what I'm saying? Right. And they don't understand that because they don't understand it because, for one, they just plainly don't understand it. They never made it to this level, and they too busy but worrying about keeping it real to a whole bunch of motherfuckers who don't give a fuck about you. You know what I'm saying? The only way you can keep it real is be real to yourself and your family and the people that's around you every day.
You feel what I'm saying?
And I feel like you, like nowadays in rap, it's like the corporate endorsements with artists and shit. It's like even the most fucking hardcore artists, like the most street rappers, I will see them on their Instagram story tagging Puma, tagging Adidas, you know, doing shout outs for different brand integrations, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like that's very much accepted in rap now, but you guys to the fans kind of represent being the last ones that still sort of embody a certain style of rap where that stuff is just not embraced as easily.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I'm a street nigga. I sold more dope than any rapper. So I don't know why that I gotta, I'm not trying to prove myself to fans. I got federal and state DIN numbers. I did mine. You feel what I'm saying? I came home times broke on my dick. I had to spend a night in a fucking city mission one time when I came, last time I came home.
Wow.
I'm not out here trying to prove to no motherfuckers who don't even know me how street I am or how, I mean, that's stupid.
And that's how it is in rap now, is that everybody is like a fantasy fucking football coach sitting on the couch just trying to,
exactly.
They don't even want you to just be an artist. They want you to do the deals and do the brand shit and stuff, but they want to like sit back on the couch and say like, nah, I don't think he should have done Nike. He should have done Adidas. Are you?
That's what they in it for. You know, that's what they in it for, to talk the shit. I'm not on a Donda album. You know what I'm saying? I was on live the other day saying, like, yo, I'm not on Donda. I don't think EA wanted me on Donda. That's cool. Like, the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Conway and Wes on there. If they on there, everybody knows that means I'm on there because, you know what I mean? That's the gang. You know what I mean? I'm going to still fly that flag. Do I look like I've been left off Bad and Bougie type shit? If the homies on there, I'm on there. You know what I'm saying? It's the same flag. And then I seen a comment. He was like, yo, a person put a comment, was like, yo, that kind of seems like hate and jealousy. Like, what the fuck part of that was jealousy?
What part of that was jealousy?
Like, I don't get it. They just want to sit back and say shit. They right. just want to run their fucking man pleasers. That's all they want to do.
And that shit's crazy, too, because it's like, bro, I mean, this is Kanye West, number one. How many fucking artists is he supposed to put on the project? The fact that your two brothers were on the project is a huge honor.
Exactly.
That you would be a fucking hater if you were sitting there thinking like, man, fuck, yeah. Like, why
I'm
he
proud.
Put them
I'm
on
proud
there
of
not
them
me? That would make you a terrible person, straight up. You know?
Shit, that's a win for me. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Shit, the homies on that joint.
The homies
you know
on there, you know what I'm saying? And it's Griselda.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
But also, you might be a little bit too OVO related for Drake to, or for Ye to fuck with you, right? Do you assume that?
So. I don't think so. I think them dudes is mature and they know that, you know, this is a business and guys who they fuck with gonna maybe work with guys who they don't fuck with. You know what I'm saying? They understand that. I understand that too. I don't take none of this shit personal. Nothing. It's not personal, it's business.
Definitely.
Facts.
But okay, are we ever gonna hear the Drake feature?
Yes we are. Shit. He hit me the other day and said, let's drop it as a freestyle. But, like, I know that he's doing shit and he's about to do the album. So, same thing with me. He's just trying to pick the right spot because it's something that he want to do, it's something that I want to do. It's about picking the right spot. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But it's one song that's already recorded and you guys both are just in love with it. It's a great
obliterated
song.
Obliterated it, yes.
Really? And that's, so it's not an issue of like, oh, maybe we should get back in the studio. Maybe we should make something else. It's like,
he's trying to pick a spot to put it out where it makes sense. You know, he been sitting down for a while. He want to put an album out.
Yeah.
And he kind of, you know what I'm saying? He just trying to pick a spot.
The time period before the Drake album is a very...
The calm before the storm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
It's like
the calm before the storm.
You don't want to sprinkle too many verses out. If I'm Drake, you know, give me 6 months of no music coming out before the album, you know?
Right.
Definitely. You want to build the anticipation.
Yeah.
That's all.
Just like Benny not putting out an album for 2 years and
yeah,
everybody
real shit.
Was
nah, just hanging out, going to clubs, smoking and drinking, right. Not putting albums out, but I'm working on them. A
couple little one-offs here and there, single.
But is it ever hard for you to chill like that? Like to just not be pushing a project? Like, if you go from a strictly street mentality to then having to be an artist and having to manage the amount of attention and when they're ready for you to drop, this is all kind of tricky. Like when you're selling dope, you just sell as much dope as you possibly can, make as much money as you can, hope that you're not doing this in a couple of years, etc. Is it kind of hard at times for you to just be like, you know what, I'm not going to drop for 6, 8, 12 months?
It's hard for niggas that can't rap.
Right. But it's also hard because, you know, we still understand in the business. So like I said, it's a team effort and it's a team decision. So I'm like, yo, we ready to go. I got this. I'm like, I do some videos. They're like, yeah, but we should. And you like, I don't agree with it or understand it, but I know it's being said for a reason. I know niggas just not trying to shelf me, and you know what I'm saying, and stall my career out. You know what I'm saying? I'm working with professionals, so you know what I mean. I don't agree with it all the time. And hell yeah, it's fucking annoying, but it is what it is.
And it is weird too because it's like you could put out a song a week, and your real hardcore fans are just going to listen to that song, love it, not be turned off to listen to another song the next week. But when you put out a project and you want to sell albums, you want to post album numbers that you feel represent how well you actually are doing in your career, you're trying to capture as many like non-hardcore fans in that moment when you drop that project. That's what it's kind of all about. Create a moment.
Yeah, that's what it's about. That's what it's about.
You always remember for moments. You know what I'm saying? You ain't remember for nothing else, even when you pass. It's the moments. You know what I'm saying? So you're right. You want to create that moment. Facts.
Yeah, you got anything in mind that you're going to do to sort of emphasize this project when it's ready to roll out? You're going to do the full, you know, do all these crazy interviews and try to be out here doing stupid music videos, features, all that kind of stuff is all happening?
We already got like 5-6 videos already in the, you know what I mean, ready. I'm dropping a video the day I dropped the album on Friday, you know what I'm saying? So if you subscribe to my YouTube, you will catch that. Black Sinatra featuring me, Benny, and Heem, produced by Shay. It's like one of Shay's last beats he made. Right. So it's going to be so, and it's create a video, crazy. You know what I'm saying? So we're going, it's the moments, Adam. I'm telling you, it's going to be a moment.
No, it's a beautiful thing. I'm ready. Okay, so I got to throw this in there. How did you feel watching the Lox Diplomats battle?
I felt like
great.
It was in the 90s, and I was watching one of the motherfucking pay-per-view Hulk Hogan shits.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know what I'm saying? It was a moment. You know what I'm saying? It was crazy. I tried to get in. They ain't fucking let me in.
Really? You pulled up?
Yeah, I pulled the fuck up. All the way up. They talking about, what the fuck they say to me? I told them I need 7 passes. They said, all right, come on. I stood out there for a minute. He was like, yo, it's crazy just walking with Cam. I'm like, walking with Cam? The fuck is you talking about? I ain't talked to Cam, tell him I was walking in. There's other niggas trying to walk in with Cam.
Right.
Then he was like, how you like 3 of y'all, right? And I'm like, 3 of us? When I ever tell you it's 3? And you know what? It's crazy. It's chaotic. I'm going to roll out because I'm trying to see the shit. Yeah. This is not about Benny the Butcher. I don't have to be in there going Instagram crazy like I'm that nigga because I was at the Versus. I want to see the shit. That was the most important part for me. It was to watch the shit. So before I stand outside the Madison Square Garden missing the shit, I'm like, yo, let's roll. Take me to my hotel room so I can watch it.
Right.
As soon as I pulled off, he's like, come on, I got 7 passes for you. I'm gone. I'm going to go watch this shit. You too late. This shit about to happen. You know what I'm saying? But shout out to the Lox. Shout out to Dipset. I think that was very, very mature of them. I think that was very big for New York. And it was a big-ass moment. And congratulations to those dudes.
Were there any moments where you were afraid that it might turn violent?
The tension was high at moments, bro. I wasn't afraid. If somebody got punched in the face, somebody got punched in the face. But I was looking like, man, these grown ass men, and I know these dudes, man. They not about to be on no crazy shit in front of the world. Yes, it got a little hectic, but one thing that I do know, those guys got respect for those guys. You know what I'm saying? They not about to do no dumb shit. Yeah, it was tension flying, you know, niggas is drunk, but you know, like, ain't shit happened because the respect that they got amongst each other.
I seen them fucking with each other, and it just seemed like it was kind of escalating. Now, to they the was point
pushing
where
buttons.
I was like, I could really see somebody swinging. Like when you smack somebody's hat off their head and shit, that frequently ends in a brawl.
Yeah, nah, but that kind of shit, though,
that's kind of New York. That's New York.
That's New York shit. One and two. That kind of made the moment by them not reacting. It's like, oh shit, now you really watching it like you said, like a pay-per-view. Like, nah, this is entertaining now.
They
knocking shit over, pushing each other. And we
street niggas, so I'm not looking at it like, oh, he took his shit off, he gotta do this. I'm like, Jesus, they fuck with each other. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like one of my homies doing that to me in a moment where we're battling, going against each other, trying to one-up each other, and you take my hat and fly it across the room. I'm not about to say, I'm about to whoop your ass. It's somebody who I know. I'm saying, you got me. I'm about to try to one-up your ass. Okay, you got me? I'm on your ass after that, though. I would have had another trick up my sleeve if I was Juelz, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I like how the focal point of so much of that battle was the fact that the Lox weren't using a backing track and the Dipset were, because then once Jadakiss announces that to the crowd a couple of times, you start to see Cam kind of outside of his usual zone where he's actually barking every fucking lyric into the mic because he wants to prove that he knows his words. But by doing that, he's kind of like moving himself into the territory of what they've established. These are the rules that they've sort of laid out.
That's one thing I said. I'm like, about that Versus shit, you have to pick your fight. It's not about the big records. It's about, this is the theme today, moments. It's about moments. When the Lox put that fuck the Frail shit, that's a moment. Not saying that I really mean it's not a moment, but you know what I'm saying? You know, the Lox come from, you know, they come from the, like, more golden era of this shit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, they had bigger songs that was bigger moments. Dips, they had bigger records, not bigger moments than a Lox, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, and it just felt like, I like the fact that backing track thing became the big issue from it, because mm-hmm. I feel like that is an issue that it would be good for hip hop overall if that was like addressed more frequently.
We don't do that.
Come
to a Black Soprano show. What? We fucking rapping for 45 minutes to an hour up there. That's why I be sweating. Yeah, asthma pump and sit down and drink water. Yeah. We up there rapping. Ain't no tracks, ain't no motherfucking nothing. We really up there rapping. So if I don't know the record, I can't perform the record. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say like, yo, I don't know it. It's Spotty's. Just play this one. I'm a rap over the beat 20 times, but this one, just played it. No, it's getting out of the set, or I'm going to learn the motherfucker, or I'm not doing it. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. I realize that, you know, when you come from how we come up, like the underground music, you know, we got to use everything we can to get where we want to go. Mm. So if that little cheat code going to help us, we rapping over the beats. You know what I'm saying? If the fans like that and they going to pay attention to that, we got to pull that out of our arsenal. You know what I'm saying? We got to use that. You know
it's a lot more difficult, but it just, honestly, it makes such a huge difference. I was watching the Rolling Loud live stream with a couple of people, and Currency came on and mm-hmm. was rapping without the backing track. And every single person in that room, where these are like not like hardcore hip hop fans, they all started paying so much closer attention and just clearly fucked with it so much more mm-hmm. than the couple artists that had performed before
right,
him.
Right, right.
And I was like, bro, like that. This is like an actual great demonstration of how talented Currency mm-hmm. is. Whereas, you know, I understand when people say that they don't really like hip hop live because it's sort of dull with them just rapping over the tracks and shit.
Yeah,
you know?
That's stupid as fuck. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I do shows. When I first started doing shows and I'm just up there rapping, you know, people was fucking looking at me like I'm stupid. You know what I mean? Up there fucking looking at me. But then I realized they fucking amazed. That's why they looking. They not dancing or nothing. They looking like, yeah, bro, really, they listen. They can hear every word I'm saying. Mm. So they're actually up there listening. And the same people who's looking at me like I'm a fucking, like I got three heads, I see them like backstage or something, like, yo, that was incredible. Yo, that was this. I can't believe it. That's the best show I ever fucking been to. Because they watching you put that pain in. You know what I'm saying? That's big for them.
100%. Yeah. So what is the relationship with Jay these days? How's that going? I seen you posted a picture of him on June 1st. Are you guys just kicking it? I think probably about to board the private jet or something along those lines.
Yo, nah, we were just kicking it. I was in the office and...
Well, you need weed or
you
something?
You know, Hov is like, a mentor. Like everybody, like all the OGs, he a mentor. He just trying to steer niggas in the right direction. He's one of the guys who accept the responsibility of... mentoring guys, how he had paid somebody taxes or how he'd do this or how he'd do that. He accepts the responsibility of showing our generation like the way to do it. Mm. A lot of dudes don't. You know what I'm saying? They too busy being competitive with us. Mm. So to see Hov accept the responsibility of that when he don't fucking got to. You know what I'm saying? He could just meet me, shake my hand, take the picture, and keep walking. We don't got to sit and have these long conversations, and he don't got to do that shit. So when I see I learn from him doing that, and I feel responsible towards the other generation for me learning from him. So, you know, Hov's that nigga. You know what I'm saying? Can't take nothing away from him. He that nigga.
He still seems like extremely concerned about your career and the direction and everything. Does he still have like specific advice about how you should handle shit?
Yeah, hell yeah. Everybody over there at Rock Nation, Hank. My boy Chase, dude, I got a wonderful team, but him specifically, yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
And so Jay is excited about the Drake feature, or is that maybe not his favorite thing in the world?
Yeah, he's excited about it because I guess it'll put me in a better position. He one of the first persons I played it for.
Right. So that the whole rivalry doesn't necessarily
Man, it's Jay, man. He don't take that shit personal. Mm. He gonna be him. You know what I'm saying? Hov gonna be Hov. None of these niggas could hold a candle to that guy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like that he feels that he has to reassert himself at this point. He's just who he is now.
Right. Definitely. Okay. Unfortunate to have to bring it up, but you did have an incident in Houston last year.
No, I didn't.
No?
Ain't nothing happened to me.
No.
What you talking about?
Well, you didn't.
Nah, I'm just fucking with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, we all like, you know, it was a weird weekend because my girl was giving birth, so I'm literally just sitting on the fucking couch in the hospital looking at my phone. Mm-hmm. And it was also the weekend where situation happened with Boosie, same weekend, same city. Mm-hmm. And then we hear Benny the Butcher got into the situation too, and we're like, what the, why is Benny the Butcher even in Houston? This is unexpected. Boosie, yeah, I can see it. I don't understand why Benny's there.
I'm chilling. I love fucking Houston. Shout out to Houston. Mm. I love Houston. I'm chilling. I'm going back real soon too.
Right. But so the situation, like, I don't know. Like, has it affected anything for you in the long run? Was this something that you're kind of used to in comparison to other shit you dealt with in your life?
To be totally honest, do it fuck with me in the long run? Hell yeah, because I'm still dealing with shit with my leg.
Mm.
But I mean, I don't want to sound like too brash, or I'm just being real. Mm. I'm just being real. Everything that I've been through and everything that happened and how I made it out the streets, something had to happen. You feel what I'm saying? About time somebody did some shit.
Mm.
That's how I be thinking about it. Sometimes I feel like I escaped scot-free.
Right.
I got niggas who doing 22 years in prison. I got niggas who about to set pleas. I got niggas who got life. I got niggas who in wheelchairs. I got niggas who still in the trenches. Some niggas who rap with me in my early years, but still in the trenches to this day.
Right.
And they don't move around with us. You see how he one of the guys who move around is niggas who was rapping when we was there, but they don't move around with us because they at home in the trenches.
Right.
So it's about that. I thought about it like, you know what I mean? Like, you got yours. You got yours, you know what I'm saying? Everybody gonna get theirs. You got yours, and I just gotta move smarter and wiser. I didn't take it too personal though on some G shit.
All right. I mean, we're used to seeing people run into situations like this in their hometowns. I guess that's part of why it was so surprising. Is like,
yeah, that's not gonna happen at hometown. Like, nobody gonna do that. They love me there. You know what I'm saying? Nobody. It had to be a situation where I was an outsider.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying?
So when you look at it now, though, were you marching around the Walmart a little too casual? I never even
been in Walmart. Okay. I never even walked into Walmart.
So, but you were in the parking lot. Did other people go in while you waited in the car or something?
One of my boys did.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But I never even went into Walmart.
Okay. But when you look at it, were you moving smart, or were you perhaps being a little bit too lackadaisical, especially with the big-ass chains on?
I guess I was, and that's what I'm learning. But to be honest with you, if, like I said, I hate to be trying to say this shit and sound the wrong way.
Mm.
The way we move, if some shit gonna happen to me, they gotta come how those guys came.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people was thinking it was a shit where I was just walking at Walmart, walking past two little shits and the shit happened. No, this is real. Other people would still be having nightmares about this shit. You feel what I'm saying? So it was one of them situations. So I don't feel like if that shit happened, they came in here like that, it'd be your ass how they came. You know what I'm saying? It was real.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? So I feel like I was at a point where Benny the Butcher is taking over Jeremy Pinnock's life. You feel what I'm saying? If y'all already knew that was my name, y'all be Googling me, Googling my network, if y'all already knew that shit.
I thought you were saying, who was it, Jeremy Piven? The actor?
Oh, no, that's my initial brother. That's my initial brother.
All right.
Jeremy Piven, Jeremy Pinnock.
Right.
So it's like the Butcher is taking over Jeremy's life.
Mm.
And I got to learn how to move like the Butcher because he control everything. He pay the bills. You know what I'm saying? He make the decisions.
Uh-huh.
So it's like when I just want to be me, it's over for that.
Right.
Kiss that shit goodbye. You got to move accordingly and appropriately. And that's one thing that I'm learning. Niggas still tell me that, like, yo, bro, you know who the fuck you are? And I understand that, but I don't got, like, 10 Maybachs outside. I don't got own, like, 10 mansions.
Right.
I'm not a billionaire. So it'd be like, little old me? And they'd be like, yes, motherfucker, little old you.
People say shit like that to me when they see me at the mall. They're like,
real shit.
You're really just in here? I'm like, what
like,
do you think
I am? Like,
I can't
go to the fucking mall? Like, I'm telling you, people say shit like that all the time.
Right.
And that really lets me know how highly people think of, like, celebrities, if that's what you want to call us.
Mm.
You know, they hold us up to a higher regard. We can't go to a fast food chain. We can't go to Walmart. I never fucking been back to Walmart since that shit.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying? It's like, we can't do nothing because the cameras and everything else took over our real lives.
Right.
So you got to think, like, why the celebrities we know and love and listen to and watch their movies and paid attention to their careers, why they fucking they be ODing and going crazy or be back broke? Because everybody can't handle this shit. You know that?
Right.
Everybody can't handle this shit. And that's just a part of something that needs to be handled.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying? So after that shit happened, I made another $1 million and put out a motherfucking another number one album.
Mm.
So it was like, you know, I had to get back to myself after that shit happened. But you got to brush that shit off because I take care of a lot of shit and a lot of people.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying? And I don't got the the mercy to sit and soak in no bullshit like that. Like, I'm gonna go get it.
Right. Okay. So, true or false? Mm-hmm. Your chains never left your neck during that incident, or was their jewelry taken in the Walmart incident?
What you think? What you think, Adam?
Well, I've heard things, but then we also never saw.
Who's up here talking about the Butch?
You know, sometimes people talk behind the scenes and stuff, but but I never saw any chains surface on the internet. And also, I believe you are with some other people during this, so maybe it might not have been your chain, but if somebody else got their shit took. I don't know. You tell me.
You see this shit? You see this quarter million right here?
It looks good.
Shit looks great. This shit costs more than the other shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I done took jewelry from niggas too. I done hit licks and everything too. Karma is a bad bitch. She's a bad bitch, and she will come bite your ass in the ass.
So you did lose something in this incident?
Yeah. Okay. Hell yeah, I did. Like I said, it had to be shots fired for that though.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying? It was no, you know. I don't like to talk. I don't like to get into too many details about this shit. You feel what I'm saying?
Right. But it makes me think that the people who were involved with it were pretty serious, because we never saw a greasy neck tour throughout the hood like we are kind of used to seeing.
You ain't gonna see one.
You ain't gonna see one. That's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? We was looking for it. we was hoping that.
If you went back to Houston right now, would it be awkward? Would it be a little like? Would you be moving differently? Like, what would your mindset be?
No, I definitely would be moving differently. Mm. But all my Houston niggas call me, you good down here? That's nothing that I don't know. I didn't charge that to Houston.
Right.
I'm not one of them type of nigga. Oh, I can't go to Houston. I ain't charge that to Houston. You feel what I'm saying? Like, worse shit done happen at home. We don't charge that to Buffalo. We still be in Buffalo all the fucking time.
Mm.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, I love Houston. You know what I'm saying?
Love Houston.
I won't feel weird or nothing. You know, niggas from out there reach out and make sure, like, yo, when you coming down, So it's that type of situation.
Did it really make you think about the fact that, like, damn, you came this far, but it could all be taken from you in a moment?
Yeah. It made me think this rap shit is crazy. Like I said, we done did everything. We done took dope from everybody. We done been into it with everybody. And I escaped injury.
Mm.
I'd be a rapper. I put out a number one album, and that type of shit happened. That opened my eyes up to that. Like, okay, this rap shit different. You know what I'm saying? So it's just about adhering to the things that's really going on.
Mm. Definitely. When you're witnessing stuff like that, though, how's it? Were you there for that incident?
Nah, I was on my way.
Mm.
I was about to go to Houston. I was in Atlanta. It was my son's birthday. I took him to Six Flags. I'm on the way. He ain't FaceTimed me.
Wow.
He ain't FaceTimed me in distress. I'm in the back of the Uber with my kids. I'm like, yo, what's going on, bro? He yelling. I'm like, what's going on, bro? Man, motherfuckers, man. He going crazy. I'm like, what's going on? Man, they just shot Butch. I said, nah. You know, where we from, motherfucker get shot, motherfucker got melted.
I'm going to say this, like, when I got shot, like, nobody got close to me until I was shot.
Mm.
That type of situation. You know what I'm saying? I kind of felt like I was moving around too much, and they was like, we got to make him be still, because this ain't going to go the way we want it to go.
Wow.
You feel what I'm saying? That type of shit.
All right.
Texas is a crazy state.
That shit was crazy.
A lot of guns out there.
A lot.
I texted this nigga right away. I mean, once they told me the details, I texted this nigga right away. He hit me back like a day or two later, which I expected. He was stinked. Yeah, I know this motherfucker since 07.
Right.
I done heard shit happen to him, saw shit. He'd brush it off or whatever in his head. But he was literally pissed, bro. He was mad. He was very, I'm like, damn.
Mainly because.
Like, my bro really mad.
You know, this Benny the Butcher shit. Imagine if I would have had somebody with me.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying? Imagine if I was down there like doing a party. You know, my kids are older. They always be wondering, yo, dad, where you gonna be at this weekend, dad? We thinking about coming with you.
Mm.
That's what I was thinking about. I'm like, damn. I feel bad because it's like this rap shit putting people in danger around me.
Mm.
So that was the biggest thing for me. It's like, damn, you gotta be careful. Not even, you know me, I like to think I can handle shit, but you know, somebody just with me to hang around and some crazy shit like that happened.
Yeah, and I guess all things considered, it could have been a lot fucking worse.
Mm. That too.
That's all we kept saying.
You know, some niggas don't survive them leg shots.
Mm.
Rest in peace, Sean Bell.
Yeah,
rest in peace, what's the Sean football Bell. Nigga name?
Sean Taylor.
Sean Taylor.
Rest in peace, Sean Taylor.
He ain't survived that shit, and he's a fucking athlete, body like a machine.
Right.
I was thinking about shit like that.
Even Boosie was in a fucking wheelchair for months and months and months after that shit.
I was thinking about shit like that. Like, you know, it could be worse. It could really fucking be worse. You know what I'm saying? Right. Almost hit my artery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Help you. Is it making you take this opportunity even more serious?
Nah, I wouldn't say that because one thing about me, niggas know Benny the Butcher is a dog. I'm on top of everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like I said, it did make me move a little bit more cautiously, and it put me in a place where I realized who the fuck I am. You know what I'm saying? And what I got going on.
Yeah, that's definitely like, you know, I feel like almost every artist probably needs to kind of learn that lesson at some point, maybe not so dramatically. But yeah, once you get to a certain level of notoriety, it's just you can't just be acting like you're just anybody else. And I guess for you, maybe especially in Texas, you're thinking like, oh, I'm from upstate New York. Like, does anyone really give a fuck about me like that
out
here?
Not even that, because I was moving like that everywhere I was at.
Mm.
I was moving like that everywhere I was at. So it wasn't like, of course, I got my head on a swivel or whatever it is, but you know what I'm saying? That's just how I was moving. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. And in the middle of all that, you're currently like doing all these label meetings, and I heard there's a bidding war, basically offering
correct.
Like millions of dollars trying to get you
correct
locked up under a label.
Correct.
Correct.
Correct. Correct.
How's that feel, and what is this process like? And are you anxious to get it over with to some extent? Is this going to stop you from releasing a new album at some point? Or?
To be honest, it kind of been like a bidding war for me for a couple years now.
Because
it's so fucking confusing. I never signed to a major label. So the dynamic that add to it, I'm a stranger to that. So it's like, they talking this, they talking that. Let's go back over here and do this shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, let's go back over here till they make it clearer and more that I can understand. And it's more what I'm used to doing. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like they offer me a $1 trillion deal and I fucking signed to Canada Dry for the money. You know what I'm saying? So they offer me great fucking money, but it's like, it's that the unknown. Yeah. I try to take everybody advice and everything, but it's the unknown. So it's exciting. It was exciting, but now it's like I'm ready to get this shit over with. I'm ready to go where I'm going to go, get this money, count it, go get it out the bank, throw it all around the house. I'm just ready to do this shit and move on.
Have a motherfucking Adam 22 party.
For real. Bring that girl from that, what's her name?
The naked Asian
girl? You know what I'm saying? And them big booty sitches.
Oh, the C-Mac, C-Mac Deluxe situation. Sprinkle freak.
Yeah, man.
And what's the shit that I was watching? That y'all gonna be on Patreon.
Oh, yeah. On the No Jumper Patreon. No Jumper, patreon.com/No Jumper. Wait, which one are you talking about? C-Mac eating the rice out of the girl's ass? Or
I seen that.
Okay.
And I seen the girl. She was putting on a banana suit.
Oh, yeah. The Asian girl, Kazumi. Yeah, that was a huge hit for us.
Yo, let me, you don't be getting in trouble for this shit? These antics you be pulling on this shit?
Like with my girl?
Yeah.
No.
Word.
I'd be hitting my girl up like, yo, we just interviewed this girl. We got to fuck her. We're going to get a bag off of this one.
Damn. Everybody, clap it up for Adam 22. Clap it up for Adam 22.
I deserve it. My bitch deserves a round of applause.
Clap it up for Adam 22.
Man. Yeah, once you really start looking at every girl as a potential.
Nah, yo, I read T-Pain said that in an interview a few times. He said his relationship's so good with his wife because she's flexible.
That's how you got to be. You know what I'm saying? We important men. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we important men.
I know you're in a lot of different businesses. But the OnlyFans business, great business to be in. We're on the verge of signing our first talent management type deal. I mean, this is a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's fire. Right.
Let's move on because I get in trouble for shit like this.
For even suggesting it.
Let's move on.
I feel you. But wait, so is Shady in the $1 million Benny the Butcher bidding war?
Man,
or?
Shout out to Shady Records, but no.
Okay.
They were.
Mm.
They were like a year ago.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know, Shady really had first writer's refusal on me.
They really did.
And they didn't exercise until 3 or 4 other labels wanted to sign me. So I fucks with Shady. I learned a lot from them, but it kind of almost didn't seem like they were interested until other people was interested. It was that type of shit.
That makes sense. How is the cohesion between all of the Griselda OGs at this point in time? There's always rumors about you guys.
I don't know where the rumors come from. Because these motherfuckers. Okay, let me put this out there. Griselda is not a group. So when y'all see me doing my own shit, BSF and Conway drum working, and Wes working with the artists he wants to, mother, that's what we here for. You know what I'm saying? I learned Wes. I learned from him. I learned from Conway. And ultimately, shit that I learned gonna help make me a boss. You feel what I'm saying? You think when he go and he get his shit together and he got an artist, you think I'm like, man, what you doing, Rick Hyde? I'm like, damn, even Rick Hyde got an artist now. And I'm like, this shit
plan fucking really worked. You know what I'm saying? Right. But, man, we cool. Man, we cool. Mm. I appreciate them boys, and I encourage them boys to stay down and keep hustling, and because I'm going to feed off of it. But we cool. We great. Everybody's working. Everybody eating. We straight.
I think people have a hard time imagining that there could be a scenario where you have artists signed under you, Gunn has artists signed under him, et cetera, and that this somehow doesn't become a competitive thing, or where it doesn't somehow disrupt that initial relationship.
Nah, like you said, really I understand
family
it.
Members, man. Like, it's going to take a lot to take. It's going to take more than that.
Like we were saying earlier, they don't want me to be a boss. Mm. They want me to sit up under Wes and Conway all fucking day.
Right.
And defense, be the third wheel.
Defense.
They don't want me to be a boss. So my glow up, they take personally. Mm. And I kind of could understand that. But, you know, they love Griselda. They love our sound with three of us together. Like, man, fuck that. Focus on rapping together. I could understand that, but, you know, I'm elevating. Conway's elevating. West Side Gunn's elevating. And it's only going to bring more opportunities and shit like that. You know what I mean? Mm. Definitely more Griselda albums coming.
Right. That's what's up. The world just probably wants to hear that. They just want to know that
right. they're I just said all that dumb shit. That's what together. Y'all really want to say. Yes, what was Shane going to do is coming. Maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know what I'm saying? You never know.
Right.
But I'm locked in. I could never not be Griselda. Like, how? It's my cousins.
That is the scenario that would make everybody very sad, is if they just didn't see you guys together, didn't get to, you know, feel that energy together. I think that is the thing. And because over time, you know, like, we all loved Wu-Tang so much in the late 90s or mid 90s, and then slowly they move apart and a little bit of the magic is lost, to the point where, like, now if they do an album together, is it really ever going to feel like an organic thing? I don't know, maybe. But with Griselda, I think that's the main thing that people sort of are in fear of, is that the chemistry might sort of disappear.
Yeah, that's
at some
bullshit, because we've been rapping like this even before these people heard us. Mm-hmm. We got mixtapes where we're going crazy, so we're not going to get money and get opportunities, and then the dynamic is not there. I kind of feel like, let's just say we put out an album tomorrow and people say that, the dynamic not there. Those are the motherfuckers who just want something to say. Mm. I'm saying they ain't even give it a full listen. Oh, man, it don't feel like they just want to talk, because, like, how? You feel what I'm saying? Mm. Like, how? That's impossible. We gonna always rap together and always. When I hear a Lox track, it still sound like a Lox track after all of these years.
Right.
It still sound like a Lox track. You
know what I mean? Them, I mean, they kept the chemistry over the years so good. You know, Dipset broke up for years and years, and they were never like the super tight group necessarily. But with the Lox, like, you really got to see that on display in the verses, that these guys never stopped fucking with each other, always stayed tight. The live show that they demonstrated during the verses that's what you get when you are performing with these motherfuckers for decades and decades. Like, that was so beautiful to see. And, like, it's kind of a shame that it took all that for people to really give the Lox their flowers, and for us to really see them getting patted on the back on Twitter. Yeah. It's kind of crazy, because it's like, nobody ever needed to tell me that Jada was one of the greatest of all time, you know?
Me neither. I feel like Kiss, like we knew he was a top five that alive.
Hell yeah.
He just proved it that night. That's what I saw. He proved it that night. Like, I always say this shit. Some people believe me. Some people don't. Watch this. And then everybody left like, okay, top five that are alive. He wasn't bullshit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, shit was dope.
Definitely. So, Rick.
What's up, bro?
I'm ready for this project, man.
Now, this project happened. Place two. Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Shit gonna be crazy.
I hope you ready, man.
Shit gonna be
I got
crazy.
A fire single. You heard it?
Which one?
It's called Alone with Benny and G Herbo.
Oh, yeah. That one's beautiful. I just saw the visualizer on YouTube.
Thank you.
Is there a video coming for that potentially?
Hey, hopefully. Hell yeah. Okay. Of course. We're definitely working towards that. That's the immediate goal.
What made you guys want to go reach out to G Herbo? This is a super corny, like, interview thing to say, but, you know, you guys are more classic lyricists. Like, what made you want to go and get a feature from a Chicago drill rapper?
Niggas is fans of G Herbo.
Fans of G Herbo.
We've been fucking with Herbo years ago. Right, I produced a record for him and Benny years ago.
Oh, really?
We did that before we was on, you know what I'm saying? So we like to reach back, you know what I'm saying? Not even reach back. We like to fuck with people we've already been fucking with.
And that was a call bro made. You know, we was in the studio. We did the record. We played it back. And bro was like, yo, you know what? I said, well, he said, I'm going to get Herb on this. I said, word. Then we played it back again, and you know, that's her producer. You know what
right,
I mean?
That's so, his producer.
So now he sent that shit.
It's like somebody sending us a record.
That shit right back.
Like somebody sending a record from Shay, like, get on this. We're like, hell yeah.
And I was thinking in my head, I'm like what is this going to be like? And then when I'm listening to it, I'm hearing Herbo, like, you know, I feel like at this point I could tell when he's just doing a feature for the, you know, just to do
he
the feature.
Bananas.
He rapped he way that. Longer than he had to. He was rapping his ass off. I was like, oh, wow.
Nah, and the context of his lyrics, you could tell he meant that shit. You know what I'm saying? He was talking crazy. He did it, man. Shout out to Herbo, man. If you know what I mean, you watching this shit.
He smoked.
I appreciate
that.
You, my guy. Nah, he went beautiful. Crazy on that shit. Like, that shit just elevated the record even more. You know what I mean? You know, you got Benny the top spitter in the game right now. Mm. His protege. And then Herbo going crazy on beat at that. You know, that's what all the fans keep saying. Herb's rapping on beat.
Right.
Like, yeah, nah, he went crazy. I appreciate him.
For sure. Benny, how you managed to not get fat yet?
To be honest with you, it was opposite. After I got shot, I lost weight.
Oh, really?
I always seen that happen in the hood. Niggas get shot, lose weight. That's what happened. I was sitting on my ass a lot.
Right.
But I was getting fat before that.
Were you? Okay.
I was getting fat. I was on my way there.
I realize it's a weird question, but you know, when a person comes from a certain place and then all of a sudden they're really getting money and doing it as a rapper, getting fat, it seems like it's kind of part of the game.
If you ain't, Rick, how are you getting fat?
Rick,
I ain't getting fat.
Pleasantly plump.
You know what I'm saying? Like after that shit, I lost some weight and I'm like, oh shit, I got a six pack again. You know what I'm saying? So. I'm just going to get, like, before tour, I'm going to get back in the gym and get my wind up and put a little bit more weight back on. But, hell yeah, like, after that shit happened, I lost some weight.
Your leg is still bothering you, or is it, like, pretty much better?
No, man, my shit fucked up, man.
Damn.
Let me show you.
I seen you walking in here, and it looked all right, but.
I got a brace on this bitch.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I put this shit on. You know what I'm saying?
So, did it fuck with the bone, or was it just the muscle? Or?
My sciatic nerve.
Oh, okay.
That's what it hit.
And that controls, like, the feeling in all your leg or some shit, right?
This, it controls this.
Right.
This effect to move your foot up.
Back.
I'm saying, it's coming back. It's coming back. Like, when it first happened, I couldn't move my foot up.
Right.
Slowly but surely, I'm moving it up. I'm seeing the best fucking doctors.
Wow.
The best doctors, and just put my faith in them and just making sure I stay on everything.
Yeah, because you definitely can't, like, run or... Probably even like jog with the way that is. Huh?
A little
it's probably
bit.
Gonna be a while.
A little bit.
No, I seen my man take a jump shot off 2 feet.
I hit a layup though.
And a layup. That's just surprise.
I'm doing
like,
layups.
Oh shit. I said, oh shit. I said,
I'm
no.
doing layups. So I said, progress oh, shit. Is being made. Wow. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's good. I appreciate you guys coming on.
Appreciate you for having
I appreciate this shit all the time. You a solid guy. I like your style. And we about to smoke off camera.
That's what I'm saying.
Nah, you're a cool dude. Teach me how to do the Kendama shit, though. You know what I'm
saying? Will teach you. But then also, I want to say that, Rick, I mean, protect Benny the Butcher at all costs. He's his own line of defense, and there's some other large men here. But I'm going to put it on you as well.
Shout out to Summers, man. Protect the quarterback, man. That's what we do over here.
Where's Summers at?
He right there.
This is a large, intimidating man that I noticed you brought with you.
Yeah, game. Shout out to my nigga Summers.
Although he does have a backboard in his hand. I don't know how you feel about that.
See, now, since that shit happened, I'm excessive.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying? And I hated to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, this summer's. Fuck around, you won't see fall.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
See, this guy's a lyricist. He does it by accident. He can't help himself.
It took me like a half a second to think that. You know what I'm saying? So always appreciate you. Let's smoke. And what you want to bet that I could do that thing before you could?
Nah, I don't know, because that's take a lot
you
of hand.
Bet me where Jake at? Somebody want to bet me?
Jake, you know, Jake are better. I'm not a gambler, man. I'll take jump shots in Madden.
He's 2K. He don't want to, you know what I'm saying? I can do everything.
I'm a probability nigga. That's too iffy. Flip the shit and catch it on the first shit, I'm going to be stink.
Yeah, I don't. And he might be secretly practicing his shit.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't want to bet on something unless you kind of know what you're getting into, right?
Nigga, you know what I'm saying? Nah, I mean, hell nah, I ain't fucking around. Yeah, I pick my battles.
NoJumper.com. Get yourself
hell
one.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
Ah, the Butcher. Rick High.
Ricky!
Rizelle, the Black Sopranos.
Place two, man.
Benny and Ricky, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube and Patreon and OnlyFans and all that shit.
For real, I'm about to start my OnlyFans.
Hey.
I'm go.
I'll be the first one to sign up. Like, comment, subscribe, nojumper.com if you want to support. Check my guys out on Spotify, Apple Music, all that shit. Go show them some love. Put some half pennies in their pockets. Appreciate y'all.